All right, the Ira Kaufman podcast is back, a victory podcast. Absolutely unbelievable. This is an instant reaction kind of podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com here with Lee DeCamper, Ira Kaufman. Tonight we were at Abe's Place in Clearwater sucking down wings and mingling and pressing the flesh, like Ira likes to say, with Bucks fans, drinking Jason Light Ale and watching this maddening Bucks game. And we're here for a quick response right after the game on this already almost Tuesday morning here, Ira. How about
unlike,
that?
Unlike most Buck games, Mr. DeCamper, nobody left this bar before it was over. Nobody.
No matter how depressing it was, well, no matter how nerve-wracking it was, people stuck around.
Steve, this was no artistic masterpiece. But if you're a Buck fan, it was sweet because now 2-3, we've talked about it, at the break, things have a whole different tinge to it.
Man, the Bucks came, Ira. They came with a game plan tonight. Pound the ball to Jaquizz Rodgers.
They finally read my column, Isbitz.
You were screaming for this 2 weeks ago. And now they come to Carolina with that as an entire game plan. Pat yourself on the back, Ira. I know you've been doing it all night.
30 carries. 30 carries for Rodgers. 30-0.
Now, why was that? Did they see this game plan on film study? Or were they trying to take the ball out of Winston's hands?
Well, I think they felt that it was going to be a low-scoring game, Lee, without Cam Newton. I know what Derek Anderson has done to this team, but he's Derek Anderson. They don't have Jonathan Stewart. They're a little handicapped offense. And it gave the Bucks tempo. It cut down on their turnovers. In fact, they had zero giveaways, Steve, zero. That doesn't happen to a Buck team very often. And they are now, gentlemen, 2-0. In the division, both on the road. That's not too bad to take into a bye weekly.
Not only is that not bad, there's a term that you've heard this the past week, maybe the past 2 weeks, a term in the NFL called stealing a win. This was stealing a win. The Bucks offensively did everything they could to give this game away, whether it was Jameis being inaccurate.
Not turnovers.
No turnovers, but inaccuracy, playing turtle penalties. With the ball, penalties. Of course, Aguayo couldn't hit the broadside of a barn until he needed it. This was stealing a win because everybody in this bar was like sweating, like they're going to lose this game. They're going to lose this game. There was nothing about this game that suggested the Bucks were going to pull away from the Panthers, and they stole a win, which is, as you stated, a road divisional win. That's pretty darn impressive,
Steve. Nobody wanted to put this game in the right foot of Aguayo, but that's the way it ended.
Well, I have to take exception with that because that's exactly what Dirk Cutter did. He set up Aguayo for a kick. He didn't have to. He could have taken a couple shots in the end zone. But think about this, Ira. Dirk Cutter decided those last few plays, I'm going to set up Aguayo.
With Jason Light behind the beaming broadly.
Could you imagine if Aguayo missed another one and Cutter just went turtle to...
No, I can't even imagine.
To set up his kicker who can't kick. Even Chucky Gruden on the telecast is talking about, hey, man, they're awfully conservative for a rookie kicker who can't kick the ball.
I'll tell you what would have happened, gentlemen. This is what would have happened. Before the game even would have got into overtime, had Aguayo missed that kick, a phone call would have been placed from one of the Glazer boys to Mr. Jason Light, and the message would have been very simple. Get a new kicker. We want competition. I want to see him at one Buck place by Wednesday afternoon. And that's what happened. And there's not one Buck fan that would have argued with that.
No, not one not Buck one. Fan, no.
Interesting. The custodian of Canton himself, Ira Kaufman, knows what the Glazers would have done if that kick was missed.
Well.
That's interesting stuff.
If they can get rid of a coach after 2 years, they can get rid of a kicker after five games, gentlemen.
And if they lost this game, the Glazer family was probably wondering, is Cutter our coach?
By the way, the Panthers are in deep trouble, gentlemen. Yeah. Let's get that out there
Well, that's
now.
Good. That's good. But you know what? Without their quarterback, I can't judge them really the same way. He's probably going to come back. But of course, Ira, your podcast is presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Visit their great websites, EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com and EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com, for all of the great October savings and all kinds of fantastic service offers. Check them out today. Now, Ira.
They had balance tonight, Mr. Isbitz.
They had balance.
They had offensive balance. That made all the difference, in my opinion, because it helped get the zero takeaway. Guys, You can't lose a game when you're plus four in takeaways.
You better not.
Cutter will be the first guy to say it, Steve, but they almost did. They almost did.
They almost did, but, you know, this is such a happy time because, you know what, 2-3 was mandatory. That was the bare minimum. That was the, you know, the pass or fail line right there, and they got to 2-3. They're firmly entrenched in second place in this division with two wins in the division, undefeated on the road. And, you know, frankly, given all the injuries, and yes, those are excuses, but they're also realities. Given all the injuries, they're in a pretty good spot right now.
I don't want to get carried away here, gentlemen.
No.
And you two will be quick to slap me down if the suggestion's off base. Given what Rodgers did tonight, over 100 yards, coming off the bye week, if Doug Martin isn't maybe 100%, isn't quite ready, is there a need, gentlemen, to rush Doug Martin back right now?
No, is there not a need?
Steve, fair question.
No, is there not a need? There's a couple of running backs just off the top of my head you would think would be able to do just as well as Charles Sims as far as running the ball.
But you want to get Martin back in the lineup.
Eventually, sure. Now, Dirk Cutter did say on NFL radio last week, well, I won't say specifically when, but last week Dirk Cutter's on NFL radio, and he said, I'm direct quote, hopefully, that was the word he used, hopefully Doug Martin will be ready to go for San Francisco, which is the first game after the bye. That doesn't mean he will. That was hopefully. I emphasize that's the word Dirk Cutter used.
You can't mess around, Steve. Hamstrings. Don't mess around with hamstrings.
Well, here's the thing, Ira. I think he's going to go if he's healthy, and he's just not – there's not even a shred of hint that he is close. So what that means, I don't know. You got the bye week. Do you need to press Doug Martin back and dance that line?
There's a little less urgency. A little bit less
urgency.
Yeah, I
mean, for the 49ers, do you need to press that line to try to – if he's close? No. And keep in mind, they have all that money invested in Martin for next year, two $8 million seasons that he's got guaranteed. So, yeah, there's a cautious, built-in cautious factor there.
Any props for Mike Evans, gentlemen? Made some big, big catches in the fourth quarter. Big.
Yeah, one drop, but he played a solid game. Some of the bad throws by Jameis are not his fault. And, you know, on the upside.
Even Vincent Jackson contributed, Steve.
He did, but that's what's so sad is that we're sort of sitting here saying, ooh, even Vincent Jackson. I mean, the guy, what, he caught four balls? I mean, he should be doing better than that. But, you know, I think all in all, I know you don't want to get carried away, but this is a very good place for this team. However you think about how they got here, they're in a very good place right now, getting some guys back inevitably after the bye. And they'll keep working on Jameis. They have a little momentum here, even if Carolina stinks.
Lee, they got some huge breaks tonight, Lee. Let's be honest.
Big time.
However, guys, they also made a few of their own breaks. Great interception by Grimes.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably the play of the game.
Yeah.
Carolina looked like they were going in for a go-ahead score, Lee. Mm-hmm. They're on the goal line.
Yep.
They forced the ball. They forced the ball to Greg Olsen. And the Bucs finally woke up and said, they're going to Greg Olsen. They doubled him up, and Grimes, who's known, Steve, for that vertical jump, showed it off and made a huge play. No question.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's why they invested in the guy, the huge play. You know, the Bucs almost didn't, again, I mean, they didn't capitalize much on these turnovers, which was a problem. I'm going to point to the first half play of Hargraves tipping that ball, outstretched, punching it up in the air. And Daryl Smith pursuing and getting right under it. That's just a beautiful defensive play, the way they draw it up.
Forcing the fumble on Anderson during a scramble.
Devontae Lambert, all people.
Absolutely.
When an undrafted rookie can contribute like that, what you have to do, Ira, is raise a glass of the Jason Light Ale, the new Joe Bucks fan Jason Light Ale.
Went over big tonight, Steve. Went over big.
It's good. You know, Lee here is the – is the resident beer connoisseur.
Yes, he is.
He's the beer expert in the JoeBucksFan.com world headquarters. Lee, your verdict.
He's more of a Dubonnet guy, in my opinion.
But, Dubonnet. Get at it. Lee, your verdict on the Jason Light Ale.
It was good. It's crisp. It's light, but not light beer. And it's refreshing. Obviously, it was cold. Smooth. Did not have a bitter aftertaste.
He sounds like one of those wine snobs, Steve. We can't accept that at Joe Bucks Fan.
Well, I'll throw one out.
We're the voice of the people.
Well, here's one. Talking about, this is getting off the beaten path, but it's funny. To give you an idea, my lawyer, who he married in my family, him and my uncle used to fly to France for no other reason than to get cases of wine.
That's out of control, DeKemper.
That's what kind of wine snots they are.
He's not Trump's lawyer, is he? Account. Okay. All right.
In a football spin, he used to oversee football operations at the Dome in St. Louis. There's a football connection there.
Steve, the Bucks won this football game, Steve.
They did. I mean, we're happy. I would hope our listeners can realize that this is just an ecstatic kind of moment because everybody and their brother needed this. We have officially avoided draft talk for all of October right now, which is fantastic.
The losing streak is over.
Losing streak is over, and there's momentum here. Now, Ira, Dirk Cutter, head coach, the game plan tonight, did you like it? Did you like what you saw?
I liked it because they established toughness that we hadn't seen before since the Atlanta game, and I would say even more toughness than the Atlanta game. Look, the Carolina Panthers are a physical bunch. That's mm-hmm. their identity, mm-hmm. Lee. Mm-hmm. Isbitz, you've been waiting 4 weeks for the Bucks to establish an offensive identity. You've been screaming that they don't have one. So tonight, they come out and they try to jam the ball down Carolina's throats. The O-line opened up holes that we haven't seen all season. And here you are, Isbitz, questioning Dirk Cutter.
Shame on you, sir.
Have you no sense of decency?
Yeah, the spin here is unbelievable. First of all, I've never been screaming about a lack of identity, so I don't know where you get that from. I feel like this is Hillary Trump here.
Okay. By the way, props on your Falcons. Props on your Falcons.
We're going to get to the Falcons.
Yeah, well, I knew we would.
I never said they didn't have an identity.
Yes, I like the game plan. Of course I like the game plan.
Well, good. That's what I asked you. Sadly, their identity had been Jameis missing throws and being erratic, which he was again tonight.
Their identity, Lee, had been 3rd and 8. That was their identity.
That's true.
And no wonder Jameis was struggling. That's not the only reason. He threw some poor balls tonight. I'm not letting him off the hook. But instead of 3rd and 8, I saw a lot of 3rd and 2s. So it made a big difference.
How, have you no sense in decency? What was the senator from Wisconsin?
Joe Welch. McCarthy.
The McCarthy hearings. Yeah, that's where that came from.
Your listeners better bone up on their history because they're going to get a dose throughout the season.
Joe McCarthy. Only an Ira podcast get Joe McCarthy references.
Ira, they're your listeners. This is your podcast.
Next week, there will be Millard Fillmore reference. So bone up, people.
I'll say this, Ira. All kidding aside, Jaquizz Rodgers tonight ran like we envisioned a runner would behind this offensive line. Toughness, a very Doug Martin-like mix of...
Committed mix of
strength, but with drive and with shiftiness at the requisite times.
He also caught 5 balls, gentlemen. No small measure now, there.
I mean, this was a tremendous performance by him. I'll have to look it up. This may be, probably is his career high for
18,
carries.
18 was his high.
That was his previous career high.
Okay. Yeah,
now, this is a huge, huge night for the Bucks. And you think about it. They started this season. Doug Martin was the number one back. Then you had Sims, and Mike James was the number 3 before he got hurt at the end of preseason. So they're on their 4th running back, and maybe this shows us that, you know, the O-line was okay. And it's just that there was the guy dancing behind the line.
He didn't do a lot of dancing tonight, Lee. He didn't.
Thank goodness. That's what Sims' signature is, it seems like, with dance. And, of course, the more you dance, there's more opportunity for a defender to close in on you.
Now, Lee, I wouldn't recommend 30 carries every week for a 5'6" guy. That's asking for trouble. But tonight, it worked, guys. You know what? They controlled the tempo of the game
not so much the tempo, but it didn't really surprise me they're going to run the ball because Cutter's been talking about this for 2 weeks now. We're throwing too much.
So is Joe Bucks fan.
So that really doesn't surprise me. I don't know if this is surprising as the game developed. And I'm going to throw this at you, Ira, because you're the sage of the Tampa Bay sports, specifically the Bucks. You're the custodian of Canton. Has Cutter lost faith and or trust with Jameis?
He realized, Lee, that at this stage in his career, he can't convert 3rd and 8s consistently. And it's not fair to ask him to do it. Bombs away might be Cutter's preferred mode of attack, Lee. But let's be honest, Steve. Winston's body of work suggests he's not a great long thrower. His percentage is poor. He doesn't connect on a lot of those balls. So I think this was a matter of adjustment for Dirk Cutter. Look, has he lost any faith in Jameis Winston? I'd say 0. Hasn't lost any faith. nor should Buck fans lose any faith in Jameis Winston.
All right, Ari, you're just telling me the guy can't throw long.
I didn't say he can't.
You
I said
he's struggling. He's struggling.
As a second-year quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Well, body of work.
That's a little bit of loss of faith.
But
right
he just
there.
Drove the ball 70 yards for a winning touchdown against a desperate defending NFC champion. So
winning field goal,
a winning score. Let's not throw Jameis Winston out with the bathwater.
He did have one
gentlemen.
Solid drive throwing the ball, one, and after that he was pretty much terrible. But
zero picks, Steve. Zero.
Hey, it's a step in the right direction for Jameis tonight. Inaccuracies aside, and there were some bad ones. And it's not just he's not just missing by a little bit on some of these throws. That's what concerns me. He's missing by a lot on some of these throws consistently. And I don't know where the fix is there.
Something that Lee's going to write about later this week, Steve, and our listeners need to and readers need to check this out is you're going to go a little bit into the technique of and the footwork of Jameis Winston, and it should be a good read, Lee.
Yeah, I guess I'll tip people off. I caught something. I DVR'd the game, as we stated earlier. We're at Abe's place in Clearwater. Immediate game reaction. But at any rate, I DVR'd the game. I did hear Chucky. You know, if you're at a watering hole, you don't hear everything. But one thing I did hear was Gruden talking about when Jameis uses his front foot, he's a better passer. And I'm paraphrasing.
Going
I
really forward. Wanted,
and,
forward.
And Gruden being the quarterback guru that he was, you know, he's done coaching. I'm really interested in what that comment was because that really piqued my interest.
You know who really jumped out at me in that regard was Testaverde when he was a Buck, Steve. When he would throw the ball off his back foot and wouldn't get any momentum going forward, that ball floated. And he threw 35 interceptions one year.
Ouch.
35.
Ouch.
And I guarantee 28 of them was off that back foot.
Hmm. Now, Ira, the talk of the town right now, as everyone's listening to this and will be all day long, is going to be Mr. Roberto Aguayo. Okay, he is the talk of the town right now, driving Bucks fans to drinking, hard drugs,
narcotics,
psychotherapy. I mean, we all saw what happened here today. And yes, he had the game-winning field goal, but where do they draw the line here with a kicker who's struggling? I mean, what's the mindset here, and where do you go from here?
Going forward, Lee, Aguayo remains a major issue. There's no question about it. He could have cost the Bucks this game. You could argue
easily.
You could argue he has cost the Bucks a game previously.
One game, yep.
One game. Look, there's going to be some pressure on bringing in a competitor. Mm-hmm. I don't think any of the three of us is saying cut Roberto Aguayo. I think that's
not going to happen.
Move. That's
yeah.
not going to happen. But Dirk Cutter is paid to win football games, gentlemen. He's not the guy that moved up in the draft to take Roberto mm-hmm. Aguayo. Mm-hmm. So, Steve, we've talked about this. A little bit of a wedge, nothing major, maybe between a coach and a GM. Mm-hmm. They don't always see things the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Investiture, I'll throw that word back out from a Jason-like perspective. Lee, we can't lose sight. Even though the Bucks won this game, Aguayo remains a major issue.
Oh, yeah, this team has a lot of warts. Let's not get ahead of ourselves here. I mean, dumb mistakes. Howard Jones, I mean, if Jimmy Johnson was coaching this team, Howard Jones would be packing up his locker once the plane touched down.
Grievous mistake.
Oh,
grievous.
My gosh. That was number one. Number two, third and one, deep in Carolina territory, near the end of the first half. Marpet gets a stupid penalty, 5 yards. That pushed him back.
Charalis got one of those.
Yeah, at least talking was Charalis, and then we followed up with the delay of game.
Yes.
Which was mind-boggling.
And I just basically took him out of a touchdown chance.
They still look a little disorganized, Steve, at times. They do look disorganized.
At times. The Aguayo thing is just very interesting going forward.
I got a couple items about Aguayo, if you don't mind, real quick.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Oh, two things about Aguayo. Number one, you kind of touched upon it, Ira. Steve has talked about this previously. Is this, if Aguayo keeps missing field goal after field goal, obviously Cutter needs wins. Is that going to create a rift between Cutter and Light? That's number one. Number two, with Aguayo, we've had people Twitter this in the past. I've always gotten a chuckle out of it. Steve and I were with the big dog, the Steve Dumig, last week on 620, and a caller called up and He said, is there any way Jason Light can fake an injury to Aguayo, put him on IR? I mean, what would you do if you were Jason Light? What would you do?
You know, sometimes that happens, guys. I don't think that's beyond the – it does happen.
It happens. I mean, he's now on an upswing for him. So
is he?
Well, he made the last kick, so that's an upswing. All right, enough about Aguayo. Forget about him. Ira, right now, where should the – average Bucks fan, your typical fan listening, what should they feel about this team right now?
Night and day, Steve. Night and day. And by that I mean what they felt 24 hours ago and how they should feel right now. Night and day because you're 2-0 in the division. Night and day because that 3-game losing streak is behind you. Night and day because you've got a bye week with guys like Ayers who will make a difference on that defense coming back. And the schedule softening. So, Steve, I'm not telling Buck fans to book their trips to Houston in early February, Lee. I'm not going that far. But you know what? There's a lot of football left, Lee. Carolina looks terrible. Mm-hmm. New Orleans is terrible. Mm-hmm. Atlanta's 4-1, but the Bucks have a win over the Falcons. And what I'm saying is this hope stays alive. Hope stays alive for Buck fans. They go to San Francisco. We'll see what happens. But, Steve, this is a game that the Bucks usually lose. That's my main point. They usually lose the game when it's up for grabs in the fourth quarter. Lee, tonight, they found a way.
They found a way. I can't go with the night and day difference. I can totally agree. Hope stays alive. But, my gosh, this team did everything they could to lose. Yes, they won. I understand they won. That's great. But, let's remember who they beat. They beat a team without the MVP of the NFC last year.
That's right.
They beat a team without their top running back. They beat a team without their left tackle. They beat a team that's got a horrendous secondary. And they by the chinny chin chin, they won this game. So I can't over – it's great that they won. It's great that they're 2-3. It's great that we won't be talking draft for at least another 3 weeks, hopefully longer. But, my gosh, if this Bucks team plays another opponent that's at full strength, I don't have a whole lot of confidence they're going to win.
Ira, culture change victory tonight in any way? Culture change?
It's a start, guys. It's a start. I'm not going to say that this is totally going to change around a team that has been irrelevant since Chucky's been gone, basically, except for that wondrous 2010 season, which looks like a fluke in retrospect, you know. Josh Freeman was unbelievable that year for Raheem. It's a start, Steve. You got to win these types of games to build a little confidence. Anybody who saw the looks on the Buck faces when this game ended and them running off the field, I'm not sure they needed a plane to get back to Tampa.
Looked like they were going to tear the goalposts down for a second there.
Yeah, it's a big win, Steve. It's a big win. If they follow it up.
Yeah, it's a big win, and hey, all we have is for now. Wee hours on a Tuesday morning. It feels good. It feels right. Ira, tomorrow, very shortly this morning, we'll be reading your takeaways from tonight's game. I know you were taking lots of copious notes as you were discussing football with the lovely hardcore young ladies sitting next to you.
My first note might be on the wings. I may do a little review of the wings over there. You already did the review of the beer over there, Lee.
There you go.
We had a good time tonight.
Good time, good showing, Bucks fans. Of course, Ira, your columns appear Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, but not today on this special Monday. And Lee, what do you got? Turn your mic on, Lee.
Sorry, but that thought was on. I tried to keep it off because I snort and cough and gag, and people don't want to listen to that. I know Tampa Bay area sports fans, they're just frustrated beyond belief that they no longer have an outlet on their morning commute to work to listen to local sports. Instead, they'll be drilled in their head NBA, maybe the WNBA, international kickball, you name it. You'll rarely hear the Bucks. You will very rarely hear anything about the Lightning. And I'll lay money, you'll never hear anything about USF short of some scandal. You won't hear it on local radio for the time being. So, with all the podcasts we have on Joe Bucks Fan, obviously Ira's podcast, which you're listening to right now, the commish, Justin Pawlowski, Todd Wright and his fantasy, Plug in your ears, people. Download these podcasts. That's your new morning local radio on your drive
to
work.
That's the epitome of local, right, Lee? The epitome of local.
And hopefully they're listening to you right now. This morning, of course, our Ira's podcast presented by Edmore's Cadillac Tampa and Edmore's Cadillac Brandon can be downloaded on iTunes. There's a link right on joebucksfan.com. Or you can just subscribe at iTunes, as well as Todd Wright's. Just search for him on podcasts. You can download as well, and commish Justin Pulowski. If you go to iTunes and you search Bucks under podcasts, first two you're going to see is Bucks Uncensored by Justin Pulowski and Ira Kaufman's podcast.
Why am I second, Isbitz?
I'm not sure about that. I will talk to
Doesn't K come before P, Lee?
We'll talk to Tim Cook and see what the hell's going on over there in Napa Valley.
It's based on patronage, Ira. It's based on viewership, listenership.
Well, do I have to throw out expletives to catch up to the commission?
No, the commission has like a 3-year head start on you.
Here, go for it. Give us one.
And he'll
sayonara. Sayonara, people.
There you go. All right. Ira Kaufman podcast in the books, and we'll see you back on Thursday.